All right. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning for our final hymn, 198, prior to the Sunday morning sermon. 198, one of my favorite old hymns of the faith, Charles Wesley. Oh, boy, he was a great preacher, but he was also a great hymn writer, Charles Wesley. And, of course, he had a brother, John, and I've given you some illustrations using those boys. They drove their mom crazy growing up, but both turned out okay. Amen. Let's stand for our final hymn this morning, 198, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Love. We'll sing all four. Glory to God. One of the great ones. Sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His praise. My gracious Master and my God assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Amen. Jesus, the name that calms my fears and bids my sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoners free, His blood can make the fowlers clean, His blood availed for me. Oh, glory to God. Please be seated, beloved. I love the words of that last stanza. It says, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Oh, aren't you glad this morning, church, that His blood has availed for the canceling of the power of sin in your life? What a blessing to know Him. Someone said, to know Him is to love Him. Isn't it true? All right, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles this morning. Open up to the book of Joshua. This morning, Joshua, chapter number 3. And I'm so glad that we need the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, not just the Pauline epistles. We need it all, because it's all for us. I sure am glad of that. The whole Bible is for us. And as we come this morning to Joshua, chapter number 3. Beloved, I believe this chapter of the Word of God is one of the most important in the Bible for the born-again Christian. And the reason is simple. The reason is that in chapter 3 of Joshua, we have the children of Israel crossing the Jordan into the promised land, which is a type, a picture of the Christian entering into the abundant Christian life, amen, that Jesus came to give you. See, that doesn't happen automatically. And we're going to talk about that today. I want to preach a message I've entitled, Crossing the Jordan. Crossing the Jordan. The year is 1491 B.C. Moses has brought the children of Israel through the wilderness of Paran for 40 years. He brought them to the border of the promised land, but now Moses is dead. Joshua has taken over the leadership of God's people, and now he faces the most important task any man would ever have, to bring God's people in to the promised land. Do you realize it had been some 5 centuries, 6, since he promised Abraham a land of their own? Now they're about to inherit it. They're about to enter it. Look with me in Joshua chapter 3. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Beloved, I want to preach you a message this morning on crossing the Jordan. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this most incredible passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you that in this passage, we behold your people crossing over into the promised land, the land of rest, the land of blessing, the land of plenty, a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, what a picture of the Spirit-filled life, the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give. And Father, I'm thankful this morning that it is your desire that every single one of your children would cross over that spiritual Jordan into the abundant land of promise. Father, I pray that you'd bless your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would open our understandings to the truths contained in this passage, that we may take and apply them to our own lives, that we would cross that spiritual Jordan, that we would abide over the other side where the land is full of blessings of the Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, I need to have your hearts and ears open this morning to the word of God. That's because every single Christian must have his or her Jordan to cross before entering into the fullness of the abundant life that Jesus promises to every believer who desires it. Did you hear what I said? It's for every believer who desires it. Listen now. Crossing the Jordan meant entering into rest. Crossing the Jordan meant total victory over every enemy. Crossing the Jordan meant fulfilling the will of God. Crossing the Jordan meant receiving all of what God promised to his people. Jordan, the Hebrew word is yadin. It means to descend, to sink, to go down. Listen carefully, beloved. Before we can enter the promised land of rest and joy and peace, we have to die to self and sin. You know, that's like the picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Going through the Jordan, you go down, and then you come up on the other side. Amen? It's a dying to self. And we're entering in to that Spirit-filled life. Glory to God. Let's examine this morning, church, crossing the Jordan. Let's notice how they did it. First, notice there was a word of warning. First, we see a word of warning. Look at verse 1 of our text. And Joshua rose early in the morning.
And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel. Note that. And lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Follow that ark. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Notice verse number 4, the warning. Don't come too close to the ark, but follow behind it. And he says, because you have not gone this way before, you need to follow the leading of your God. Amen? Now, beloved, listen carefully. We actually have a twofold warning here issued. First, that they must follow the ark when it moved. Look at verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. First, he's saying you must follow the ark of the Lord precisely. Don't go to the left hand, don't go to the right, just follow the ark of God and you'll be just fine. Amen? I am so glad that the ark of the Lord represents the Spirit of God. And that as you and I follow the Spirit of God, we can't go wrong. Amen, church? Well, listen, as we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, He will take us where we need to be. And he says, number one, make sure you follow that ark. Now, the ark of the covenant was the literal visible symbol of God's presence amongst them. The Shekinah glory of God floated and hovered over that ark. Amen? They're told to follow that ark whenever and wherever it moved. Go to Exodus chapter 40 and hold your place. We're coming back to Joshua. Exodus chapter 40. We have the construction of the ark, right? And look what happens here after the ark is completely finished. In Exodus chapter number 40, don't miss this. In Exodus chapter 40, look with me at verse number 20. Verse number 20. And he took and put the testimony into the ark. That's the ark of the covenant. And set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the temple and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded. And he put the table in the tent. He put everything into the ark of the covenant that God commanded him to put. Now, look, he lighted the lamps in verse 25. He put the golden censer altar for the incense. In verse 28, he set up the hangings at the door. In verse 30, he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar. Put the water therein to wash withal. That's a picture of the word. But drop down with me to verse 34. Verse 34. And verse 33, he ran up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar. He set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. 34. Then a cloud, it's the Shekinah glory, covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of who?
The Lord.
The Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. He says, when that Shekinah glory got up and began to move, all the children of Israel followed it. When that Shekinah glory stood still, they stopped and they camped out. Amen? That's a picture of you following the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're not following the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to go the wrong way in our lives, I guarantee you. We need to follow the ark, church, number one. So the first word of warning we have here is that they must follow this ark wherever it goes. The second word of warning is here we find in verse 4. The second warning is that they must keep a space between them and the ark. Look at verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Listen to me, folks. When a person gets saved and becomes a born-again Christian, God wants to take you to a place of spiritual maturity where you cross the spiritual Jordan into the abundant, spirit-filled life. Amen? A life of rest and peace and joy. But in order for you to get to that point, you have to let the Lord lead you in. If you get too close to the ark, there's a tendency, you know what we have a tendency to do? We want to get ahead of God. He says, if you come too close to that ark, you're liable to walk right past it. And once you walk past it, you're going the wrong way. You're no longer following the Lord. You're leading your own life. So he says, don't get too close to it, but make sure you follow behind it. Oh, what a picture we have here, beloved. It's simple. If someone got too close to the ark, they would be going the wrong way. Look at the rest of the verse. He says in verse 4, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You know what that means? A person who gets saved, they get redemption through the blood of Christ. God wants to give them a life they've never experienced before. And he says, you've not gone this way heretofore. I'm going to show you a life that you never dreamt you could have. And that's a spirit-filled life. Glory to God. A young Christian woman was applying for acceptance at the Dallas Theological Seminary when it was sound in doctrine. When she noticed this question on the application, it said, are you a leader or a follower? She had to tell the truth, so she reluctantly put, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. She went home dejected until she received a letter from the dean which read, Dear Miss Jones, seeing that we have 1,487 leaders starting this fall, I am happy to tell you that you've been accepted. I suppose that all these so-called leaders could use at least one follower. Amen? Yeah. They all put, I'm a leader, I'm a leader. Hey, you got to be a follower. You got to be a follower of God's Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him lead you and you be his follower. She answered correctly, by the way. So the first thing we see is there's a word of warning. But secondly this morning, notice there was a call to preparation. Back in our text in Joshua chapter 3, notice the call to preparation. Verse number 5. And Joshua said unto the people, what's the next word?
Sanctify
yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Listen carefully, beloved. Joshua tells the people that you need to prepare yourselves spiritually from what is about to happen in your life. You and I, you know what? When I was in Bible college, in homiletics, that's preaching, I'll never forget. Our homiletics professor, he said, boys, he said, there's one doctrine that's becoming a lost, and I'm going back 20 years, 1991, more. He said, there's one doctrine of the church that you need to preach on again and again and again, and that's the doctrine of sanctification. And one guy mentioned, why, preacher? And he said, because God's people don't want to be sanctified. It's becoming, you don't hear preaching on sanctification, separation, holiness, and godliness anymore. Because the church wants to look like the world, they want to sound like the world, they want to dress like the world, they want to be the world, see? So you need to preach. He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Now, beloved, go to Leviticus, no, let me just quote it. Leviticus 10:3 says, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. Now, notice in this verse, two things go hand in hand. He says, sanctification will bring glorification to me. That's what the Lord said. Listen, let me read it again. For this is the will, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. You want to be near God? You want to be close to the Lord? I don't know about you. I want to be as close. I want to be John leaning in his bosom. Amen. I want to be as close to him as I can humanly be. But he says, if you want to be near unto the Lord your God, I will be sanctified in all them that come nigh me. And before all the people, I will be glorified. So when you walk in sanctification, the Holy Spirit is sanctifying the areas of your life. God is going to be glorified. That's what that verse is saying. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, don't turn there, says, for this is the will of God, in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification. It's the will of God. Oh, that's okay for the pastor. That's okay for Tiffany McDonald over there in Thailand. That's okay for Brother Tigno down there in Ecuador. No, that's okay for you and you and you and you and me. Amen? Every child, notice it says all the people. He said to all the people, sanctify yourselves. It's for all of us. It doesn't matter if you just sweep the floor here, if you clean the commode, whatever it might be you do for the Lord, you need to be sanctified in what you do. Amen? It doesn't matter because it's the will of God. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Beloved, listen. It is a law in the spiritual kingdom that if God is to be glorified in and through us, he must first be sanctified in us. And if a believer desires to cross over Jordan and enter into the abundant life, he or she must first seek the sanctification of the Spirit of God in order to be properly prepared to enter in. Hear what I said? You can't cross Jordan with dirty hands. It won't work. You know what will happen? You know what will happen? The land will spew you out. You know what happened to the Girgashites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hivites, all those Ites peoples? The Bible says the land cast them out for their abominations. If you want to live in the promised land, you got to be sanctified. It's what he's saying here. Remember Exodus chapter 19? Before the giving of the law, go to Exodus. Let me show you this. Exodus 19. There was something the children of Israel had to do before God gave them the Mosaic Code. And look at it. In Exodus chapter 19, verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, all the people, and what?
Sanctify them
today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. There's a picture of the word, washing of the water by the word. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Drop down to verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your work. He's saying, be sanctified. God is about to do something great and we need to be prepared to receive it. Amen? Oh, folks, I'm so glad for this old-fashioned, Bible-believing Baptist church we have here. We still believe in old-fashioned holiness and godliness in this church. Amen? We believe in sanctification of the believer. It's becoming a lost doctrine of the church. But thirdly this morning, something else. Notice there was a word of encouragement. Go back to Joshua chapter 3. Notice the word of encouragement in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee, that's promote thee, in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Listen to me very carefully, beloved. The word of encouragement is this. If you strive to enter in to the, cross the Jordan into the abundant spirit-filled life, God is going to magnify you. He's going to promote, he's going to advance you. He's going to, look what it says in verse 7, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. When you live a spirit-filled life, a sanctified life, people, lost people will know that God is with you. That's what he's saying in verse 7. The people will know that as I was with Moses, I am with you, Joshua. Oh, folks, it's worth crossing the Jordan. Amen. Folks who don't even care a lick about that Bible. They don't want to hear about Jesus Christ, but they'll know that Sister Mary is walking with God. They'll know that Brother Kyle's got something driving that bus, but Jesus is with him. They will know the presence of God in your life. Now, brethren, listen. The Hebrew word here is gadol. For magnify, in verse 7, the word magnify, it's gadol. It means to advance, to bring up, to promote, to be much set by, to make great. It means to make great. Now, folks, God wants to magnify you. He wants to promote you. He wants to make you great in his kingdom. He wants to make you a great servant of Jesus Christ. But sanctification must precede this magnification. Amen? What a word of encouragement is this we have, beloved, for every believer. Look at chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. Look at this, verse 13. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. Look at verse 14. On that day, the Lord did what? There it is.
The Lord magnified, there's the magnification prior to the sanctification, magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him. And they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua. Glory to God. God is making something great out of Joshua's life. He made him a leader. God made him a man of God. God wants to make you a woman of God. God wants to magnify you. And he will as you cross into the Jordan. He'll do the same for you and I. Something else quickly. Notice there was a strange halt. A strange halt. Look in verse number 8. Joshua 3:8. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. What? I thought we were crossing over, Lord. Yeah. But before you do, ye have to halt and stand still as a stone. Why? Listen carefully. What meaneth this strange halt? Think with me, church. Crossing the Jordan spiritually represents a passing over from a lower to a much higher experience of the things of God. God told Moses, I'm going to bring you into a land of promise, a land that floweth with milk and honey, a land that is full of good things and blessings, and ye shall eat and be satisfied. Ye shall neither hunger nor thirst any more. But listen to me, church. The Ark of the Covenant must halt and stand still in the Jordan in order to ensure the safe passage to all the people. Hear what I said? Beloved, God assures us that he will prevent the floods of difficulty from stopping us in entering into the promised land. Why? What am I saying? I'm saying that when you seek to cross the Jordan into the Spirit-filled life, you'll find resistance. You will be opposed. That will be an obstacle in your way. But guess what? The presence of the ark prevented the floods from sweeping them downriver. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to stop you from getting to the other side. He wants to prevent you from a spirit-filled life. He wants to stop you from serving God. He wants to resist the will of God in your life. So he sends these floods of adversity, these floods of temptation, these floods of persecution. But guess what? The Spirit of the Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, thank you, Lord, shall lift up a banner against him. Amen? You are safe entering into the promised land, crossing the Jordan, because the ark is with you. The presence of God is with you, ensuring your safe passage. We must halt and allow God to open up a clean passage for us to enter into. But I see something else, beloved, this morning. There was a proof of his presence with them. Look at verse 9. Notice the proof of God's divine presence with them. Verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out all the Ites peoples. Behold, verse 11, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, here's what I want you to see. Ye shall know, verse 10, that the living God, look at it, the living God, that's who he is among you. Ye shall know that. Now, folks, if you do not know for absolute certainty that the Lord's presence goes with you in your life, you'll never enter into the deepest spiritual life. You'll never cross the Jordan. But the question must naturally follow. How can I know or have proof of God's presence in my life? The answer is twofold. Listen carefully. First, we can know that God is with us first by his power working in us. Amen? Listen, he gives overcoming power to all his children. Are you experiencing victory over sin in your life? If you are, it's because of God's presence, not because of you. You as a child of God possess something the world doesn't have. That's the Spirit of God, right? And when you experience victory over the world, over the flesh, over the devil, over sin, it's because of God's presence in you. That's the strength. That's the power of God working in you and through you. Glory to God. Look at verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail, what's the next two words? Drive out. Drive out from before you the ites. The ites represent the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he says, you're going to know that God is with you because the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to be driven out of your life. I am so glad that Jesus Christ is in me is greater than he that is in the world. That his spirit of Jesus Christ works in me to overcome sin. Amen. Which I could not. He can. He's able. Glory to God. The first way we know God's presence in our life is by his power working in us. Secondly, we can know God's presence in our life by his word working in our lives. Look at verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and what's the next word?
Hear.
Hear the what? Words. Words of the Lord your God. You know how you can know that God is with you? You hear his word. You know why this church has empty pews this morning? They don't want to hear God's words. I'm telling you, folks, God's people don't want to hear God's word this morning. We're having a epidemic in the world today of preachers who won't preach this book. They won't preach the word. Everything but Paul said, Timothy, preach the word in season, out of season, with a long suffering and doctrine and reproof. Amen? Why? Because you have evidence of God being in your life by your hearing his words. God, if God is with you, you will hear his words. Jesus said in John chapter 8, down around verse 44, he that is of God heareth God's words. Therefore, he turned to the Pharisees and says, therefore ye hear them not because ye are not of God. Ooh, that's awful harsh. Amen. That's awful mean. Yep. That's my Jesus. He said, you boys won't hear my words because you don't know God. You don't know God. But those who do love his word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, don't turn there. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye heard the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectually worketh in you that believe. That's how you can know God's in your life. You want to hear his words. That's why you're in church this morning. Beloved, this is living proof of God's presence. A few years ago, Democratic U.S. Senator John Kovalver stated that hydrogen bombs could blow the earth off its axis by 16 degrees. Where he got that, no one knows. But scientists correctly said, no, not so. There is no known power to man which could so upset the earth. Listen, they said a 6.2 magnitude earthquake involves as much energy and power of 1 million atomic bombs, or that equals 10,000 hydrogen bombs being set off simultaneously. Beloved, earthquakes are under God's control. You can't set the earth off its axis. Only God can do that. And these people need to learn that God is in control. And you know his presence is with you. Glory to God. But something else quickly. There was an assuring promise. Back in our text in Joshua 3, notice the assuring promise in verse 12. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Now, here we have an assuring promise from God. He says, boys, if you obey my voice, and you go down there and you put your foot, your first foot forward, that's the step of faith, the step of faith. Amen. And you put your foot down, by the time your boot touches the ground, it'll be dry. It'll be dry. You got to make that step. It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to twist your arm. Amen. Now, verse 12, it says, look at it. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass, verse 13 says. It shall. It's an assuring promise. Now, beloved, listen carefully. The Jordan River's ultimately destiny was the Dead Sea. The Jordan flows down from Hermon in the north, and it comes down into the Dead Sea. It passes toward Jericho, into the Dead Sea. Now, you know why it's called the Dead Sea? Because it's dead. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Since Sodom and Gomorrah, the salt content is so high from the brimstone that nothing can live in the Dead Sea. You know what the floods want to do? When the children of Israel are crossing, trying to enter the promised land, the floods of the Jordan want to wash them into the Dead Sea.
You know what that's a picture of?
The dead spiritual life. No life. No life lives in the Dead Sea. And that's where the devil wants to put you, into the Dead Sea. Not the spirit-filled, abundant life that Jesus came to give you. He wants to sweep you down into the Dead Sea. But I got good news, church. Listen, I'm here to tell you this morning that no river of opposition, whose end is the sea of death, can ever prevent you from the enjoyment of the promises of God. Listen, from entering into the glorious, abundant life by spiritually crossing the Jordan, you are guaranteed safe passage by the Word of God. Listen, why? Because faithful is he that promised, who also will do it. I am so glad from Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's a promise of God. You can enter in if you want to. The problem, church, today, oh boy, I'm going to get letters on this. Most Christians don't want to enter the promised land. They like the other side of Jordan. They like the world side. They like the garlics and the onions and the leeks of Egypt. And it's a choice of the will where you want this spirit-filled life. Now, listen, beloved, we've seen this morning the word of warning. We've seen the call to preparation. We've seen the word of encouragement. We've seen a strange hall. We've seen the proof of his presence. We've seen an assuring promise. But one last thing we must notice, and I'll be done. There was a glorious outcome. Look with me in our text in verse 14 and notice the glorious outcome. Verse 14, and it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, and that is beside Zeratin. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, the Dead Sea, even the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And what's the next word? All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Glory to God. Beloved, listen carefully. Don't miss this point in closing. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, make sure you hear this. In verse 17, look at it. In verse 17, everything happened exactly as God told Joshua it would happen. Verse 14, he says, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to go, the priests take up the ark in verse 14. They begin to march toward the brink of the river in verse 15. The feet of the priests go step into the water in verse 16. Before their feet hit the ground, they're standing on dry ground. The waters flee and a clean, dry path is opened up for them all to pass over. But look at verse 17. And notice the word all the people passed over. Church, our God wants all of his people to cross the Jordan and to enter into a life that is like no other life this world has to offer. I am so glad that on October 3rd in 1986, Bob Oliver found out what life is worth living. That is the life that is Jesus Christ. Everything revolving around Jesus Christ as the hub. He is the center of everything in your life. And oh, how sweet it is to abide in that promised land. Woo! I tell you, I'm so glad that it's part of the gift of God. Jesus said, I come that they might have life more abundant. It's a promise that Jesus gave you if you'll only receive it. Go to Psalm 114 and we'll be done. Psalm 114. You know that Psalm 114 talks about what we're preaching on this morning? It talks about crossing the Jordan. And watch what the Holy Ghost says here through David's pen in Psalm 114 concerning crossing the Jordan. Oh, this is good. 114, Psalm. When Israel went out of Egypt. Now, time out, church. Going out of Egypt is a picture of what?
That's a picture of redemption. You're saved from the world. You're saved from Pharaoh, a picture of the devil. You're saved from the devil. But crossing the Red Sea is a picture of Red Sea, blood, redemption. But crossing the Jordan is a picture of entering into the Spirit-filled life. They're not spelt the same, as Doc would say. Verse 1, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it, and what?
Fled.
The Red Sea. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Question, what ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. What happened? What's your problem? What happened to you? Verse 7, tremble, thou earth, at the what? Presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and the flint into fountains of waters. Beloved, my word to you this morning is, at the presence of the Lord God, we cross the Jordan into the promised land. Glory to God. I am so thankful this morning that you and I are able to enter in. Now, I got a question for you in closing. What about you? Have you made that step of faith into the Jordan and seen those waters dry up and march through following the ark of the Lord into the promised land? I got good news this morning, church. If you haven't, you can do that today. Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad. Father in heaven, let's pray. I am so thankful, Lord, that any child of God can cross the Jordan because of the presence, capital P, presence of the Lord your God going before you. And Lord, I am also grateful that it is your desire of your heart that every child of God, every soul that knoweth Jesus Christ as Savior from sin, would cross that Jordan and enter in to the wonderful, Spirit-filled, abundant Christian life that you purchased on Calvary's tree. Lord, my prayer for this church is that every single member would take that step of faith, would walk through that Jordan River on dry ground, coming up on the other side, a picture of resurrection, and live that life that you promised to give. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that it's true today as it was way back when, and it will always be true, that the promised life of abundant blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ is ours for the taking. We thank you for that in Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals this morning. We'll stand for a time of invitation. A closing hymn. Crossing the Jordan. Glory to God. Let's open up to 66 this morning. Hymn 66. We'll stand. And we're going to sing all four of a wonderful old hymn of the faith. When I survey the wondrous cross. That's where it all occurred. Sir Isaac Watts, 66, sister. Sir Isaac Watts wrote the incredible words of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey
things that
church. Look at the words on that third stanza. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? On the fourth, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is that your prayer today? I hope so. We need to say it to the Lord. And before we do, with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, Father, thank you for your people in church today. And Lord, I thank you that you see the hearts of your people. You see their desire to enter in, to abide, if they've already entered in, to abide yet in the promised land. Not to cross back, not to fall back, but to remain abiding in the Spirit-filled life. By an uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to, yes, I see that hand, and I see that hand, praise the Lord. I need to remain in that promised land, and I see that hand too, praise the Lord. And not allow the enemy to draw me back into the Jordan, to sweep me into the Dead Sea. No, I'm going to stand, yes, by that uplifted hand, I'm going to stand in the promised land. Amen, amen, I see those hands. Father, thank you for these uplifted hands. Thank you that you're working in the hearts of your people. And thank you that you have the power to not only bring us into that promised land, but for those of us who have already entered in, to keep us there. We need your preserving grace and power. And we thank you that we've got it in Jesus' name. Amen. On the third, beloved. Woo-hoo.
See from his head, his hands, his sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a
so much, Father. What a blessing to be in your house with your people this morning and to see what it means to cross that Jordan in our spiritual life. What a blessing, Father. And folks, don't forget tonight the Lord's table service. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing, the Lord's table service, and invite somebody. And then Wednesday night, we got a special preacher coming in. His name is Evangelist Tom Bard. Yes, he will be preaching here at 7 p.m. this Wednesday, all the way from, he just came from Las Vegas. Praise the Lord. The Lord sends him all over the country. Yeah, he gets around. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that'll be. Brother Kyle, dismiss us in prayer, and don't forget tonight at 6 o'clock.
Lord, we thank you once again that we've been able to gather into your word. We can be fed once again to renew our soul, to keep us always cognizant of your word, Lord. We thank you for being with us, for being our guide and our staple as we look forward and to follow you, to be our guide as we go through life, to help us follow and go in the direction you'd have us to. And all we need to do is make sure that we continue to keep our eye on you, to follow after you, Lord, not to be wayward or to go on chasing after the glories of the world, but to stay with you, Lord. We pray you'd help us to have the strength to do that and to walk with you always. We pray, Lord, you'd keep us with you and walking and guide us, Lord, and bring us back again this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen.